trying to figure it out. Yeah, sorry. I forgot to turn it on. I heard that speaker sound like it's going to take off. All right, praises, testimonies. Anybody? What else? Anything? Yes, sir. Okay, don't pray for patience. Because if you do, God's going to give it to you. You need it, amen. So you ought to pray for it. Amen. Yeah. So the praise is you've not strangled anybody? Hey, all right, man, that's good. That's right, okay. Outstanding. That's a praise right there. All right. Other praises, anybody? All right. Yes, sir. I thought I saw your car over there when I was coming back to church. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. That's great. Yeah, that's good. That's a good praise right there. Good praise. Yep. That's great. Amen. Anybody else? All right, we got some prayer requests tonight. Miss Socorro, healing from a bad cold. Talked to her on the phone last yesterday evening, and she thinks she's going to be here Sunday, but not sure. Miss Sarah Puente, she's got an aneurysm and a tumor in her brain, and they think she's going to go see a surgeon here, I want to say the end of January, and she may have surgery, she may not. But either way, she's going to be transitioning out of her home into a retirement center. So be in prayer for Sarah Puente. And then Fran, who's been visiting with us, Fran and Big John, she's got this breast cancer, and it's confined, and it's not spread. She's had it 20 years ago and made it through it. So she's going to have to go through a double mastectomy and then chemo. So we need to be in prayer for her. We got a praise on Kathy's uncle, Tommy Jensen. And then Ricky Stoltz's father. Did I get that name right? Stoltz? Stoots. Stoots. Ricky Stoots's father. It's Matthew? Matthew is Ricky's son. And Matthew passed away. Okay. 30-year-old. Okay. So Matthew's passing, and it's the Stoots family, right? Prayer for the Stoots family. All right, and then Roger Thornton, used to be him and his wife were here forever and a day. They relocated to East Texas. He's had hip replacement, and his hip has become infected. And so they've gone in and done the surgery. And we were just talking up here before we got going tonight. There's just a percentage of this that happens. I mean, Bobby dodged the bullet. And Kenneth dodged the bullet. You dodged the bullet. So there's four of you, and one of you come up with an infected. So they cut him open, flushed it out, stitched him back up. He's on 3 weeks of IV antibiotics in a rehab center. And then after 3 weeks of rehab center, he goes home and takes oral antibiotics for another 3 weeks. So if that don't get it, they take the artificial hip out, stitch you back up, treat you again, and then when they got the infection out of you that way, they go back in and put another artificial hip in. So once you start this infection protocol, it's pretty serious stuff. So you really need to be praying for Roger and Lois that God would really touch his body and getting past this infection. And then Rhonda, this is a friend of Marco Barnes. She has cancer. I think she's in, did he say she's in Tomball? Kindred, that's right. She's in Kindred. Yes. Kindred Hospital, that's right. And then got a prayer request here for Concordia Lutheran School. Have y'all seen it on the news? Yeah, Concordia Lutheran down here on 2920, right? 2920. So a individual by the name of Mark Davis, he's been in the school forever and a day, but he brought a firearm to school and threatened the principal and one of the coaches or something. He was going to shoot him. So a lot going on down there at Concordia Lutheran. So be in prayer for them. What other prayer requests tonight? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Oh, my. Oh, bless her heart. What's his name, Miss Karen? Ben Curry, massive heart attack. Okay. Okay. Wow. Right. Okay, Johnny Spurlock, heart attack on hospice. Okay. Yes. Uh-huh. Not clear enough. All right, hand in the back. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Oh. Can you give me the family's last name? Family's last name? The last name? Rhodes? Rhodes. Okay. Is it a done deal or is there a chance of reconciliation? Mm-hmm. He's left the reservation, huh? Yeah. Yeah, God can get a hold of him. All right, Rhodes family, divorce, 5 kids. Grandmother's name? Janice. The first round was effective. Yeah. And how old is Janice? 78. What cancer was she getting past? Uh-huh. Yep. Okay. Okay. Yeah. not. Susie, it's AFib, okay? Absolutely. In the back, go ahead. Mr. and Ms. Hearts, that's right. Dorothy. Dorothy and Don. Hearts. Those little guys, both of them have been in the hospitality, haven't they? Haven't both of them been in the hospital? Is that what you were telling me? Yep. Yes. Oh, well, amen. That's a praise. Okay. Well, that's a praise. I may dance a jig, man. He's getting to go home not a good 3 weeks in rehab. You got your hand up back there? Oh, that's painful. Yeah. Name Vince? Irene. Those of you that have spoken, we got one? Okay. Thinking about those people that are lost, right? Need to pray for them, right? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we can begin this evening with this intercessory prayer time and prayer ministry. And Lord, we just are coming to you tonight with a heavy heart. And Lord, in agreement of spirit and mind, as we think about these requests that have been read to us and some that we've heard tonight spoken. Lord, we just, as we get ready to go, with the prayer time, Lord, if we need to catch up on our sin account, our confession, Lord, thinking about how these things have grieved your heart, broken your heart, Lord, as we need to think about, we need grace and forgiveness. We need to think about confessing these sins and, Lord, agreeing with you what we've done, seeing it the way you see it, the way your word describes it. Lord, I pray that we would be able to lay these things down at your feet, these sins, sin, whatever it may be. And then, Lord, pick up forgiveness. And, Lord, in the midst of all that, we're seeking to repent from these said sins that we may need to confess. So, Lord, not just agreeing with you, but seeking to turn from and not repeat the sins again. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for forgiving us tonight. We praise you tonight for your goodness and your grace, for your salvation, for your great provision. Lord, we stand at all, we kneel at all of you. You're just an incredible, powerful, loving, gracious Heavenly Father. And we're blessed beyond measure to be in this thing called salvation, be sealed for the day of redemption, be covered by the blood, Lord, have the penalty of our sins removed. We praise you and we thank you for that. Lord, as we think about these requests tonight, we just pray for these unspokens, Lord. We acknowledge that, Lord, many people here, we struggle with an unspoken request. And Lord, we don't want to struggle with it. We just want to lay it at your feet. We want to give it over to you. We want to acknowledge that you're sovereign and that you're in control. And Lord, your timing is always best. And Lord, help us just rest tonight in who you are and in what you're doing behind the scenes. That sometimes we don't even have a clue what's going on, God. You're working and doing and bringing things together and making things better and bringing relationships and getting people closer to that crossroad where they have to decide on who Jesus is. And Father God, we just pray that we stay the course, keeping these unspoken things lifted up to you in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for given us another opportunity to pray for those. Lord, we think about those lost people that we are close to us, and some perhaps are not close to us, but we know them and we know that they're lost. And Lord, we look at their lives and their lives don't bear any fruit. And Lord, they're either backslid Christians or they're just lost people that need Jesus. And Father God, we pray that there might be a breakthrough, that, Lord, if you want to use us to evangelize them, to sow a seed of salvation, to plant a seed, to invite them to a church, invite them to this church or another church, Lord, just however we might be able to be used. But God, we pray you would place other Christians, other believers in the midst of them, other people that might point them towards the truth. And Lord, we're always thinking about and praying for those crossroad moments, those moments in their journey, in their situation, circumstance, where they just have to stop. They just have to stop and think. What about this Jesus? What about him? And Lord, when they stop and think and just comprehend a little bit about the gospel, Lord, they might, with their own free will, open the door of their heart. And we're praying they do, Lord, and we're praying that you save. Thank you that you still save, Lord, and thank you that you still call sinners home. And Lord, we pray you do a work in these folks that we can mention to you by name as we pray tonight. Save them, God. Put it on them. Lord, as we continue on, we pray for Vince's mom, and Lord, we pray for healing from these shingles. And Lord, this old chickenpox virus comes back on us and with a vengeance sometimes. And Lord, we just pray you touch her throat. And Lord, you just get these things under control in her neck. Lord, help her take fluids and nourishment. And Lord, we just pray you keep her out of that hospital. Lord, we thank you for this praise that we've heard on Brother Roger. We're going to look into that. But Lord, we pray that he is getting to go home for oral antibiotics and not have to go to rehab. Lord, Dorothy and Don Hartz, we just pray for this little couple. And Lord, we pray you protect them and watch over them. And Lord, help her with her balance and help him with all his issues, Lord. And Father God, I just pray you give them a good rest of this week. We lift up Susie to you, Lord, in this AFib she's struggling with. Father God, I pray you not, Lord, just help her slow down and just take it easy until she can get on the right track, the right medication, see the right doctor, Lord. Watch over her. Lord, we lift up Janice to you tonight in this second round of chemo for lymphoma. And Lord, we thank you that she's been able to take this first round. And Lord, we're just praying your Holy Spirit would flow through her body and touch and bring healing, Lord, and remove this lymphoma from her. And Lord, certainly if you want to use another round of chemo, that's awesome. But God, if you just want to remove it, just bring an immediate turnaround in her body, God, we're just asking for that, praying for a miracle in Janice's life. Father God, we thank you that you still do miracles, that you're a powerful God. You've created us. You've knitted us together. You know how we work. You know how to heal us. Lord, as we continue on, we lift up the Rhodes family and this divorce and these children. We pray you protect these kids in the midst of all this drama that's going on with mom and dad. And Lord, we just pray there's a sliver of hope for a reconciliation and for just a coming back together as husband and wife. Lord, we pray that you would do that for those kids. Lord, that you would bring this husband and wife back together. We pray for confession, and we pray for honesty, and we pray for vulnerability in the relationship, and we pray for we pray that husband and wife would defend the relationship. That, Lord, there wouldn't be a spirit of indifference on either party's part, but there would be a great defense in wanting to hold on to the time that's already been invested, to the relationship that's already been invested in. Lord, we lift them up to you tonight. Lift up Ann Redmond to you tonight. Lord, touch her lungs. Lord, we pray for this inflammatory response, this bronchitis she's got going on, God. I know how that works. I know how that is. That's a struggle, Lord. I pray you give her rest. And, Lord, I just pray the all the different things that trigger that, Lord, that you just help her stay away from. Johnny Spurlock, Lord, we lift him up to you and his time in hospice from this heart attack. And, Lord, we just pray you give him the grace and the mercy to withstand what he's going through, Lord, and just be with him, walk with him. And, Lord, you know you'll be carrying him before long. But, Lord, we lift up Johnny Spurlock to you and just pray for peace in his life. For Ben Curry and this massive heart attack, we pray for his healing. And, Lord, we pray for Cindy, who's come down with breast cancer. And, Lord, right after that, a heart attack again. So much cancer and so many heart issues we're talking about tonight. Lord, we pray you touch these folks. Lord, we pray for a great school down the road, Concordia Lutheran. We lift them up to you, Lord, and we pray for their protection. Lord, we pray that the media would respect their privacy. And Lord, we just pray for Mark Davis tonight. Lord, we pray that you would help him find the help that he needs. And Lord, these thoughts of wanting to hurt people and shoot people and these destructive thoughts and diabolical thoughts, evil thoughts, God, you would just remove these from his mind. And Lord, you would give him something else to think on and ponder on. And Lord, we just pray ultimately that Mark would get some help. And that, Lord, through all this, there would be some kind of a healing, some kind of a testimony of Mark coming full circle. And Lord, we're just thankful that there wasn't a bullet fired in anger. There wasn't a bullet fired to hurt or kill. It was just words. We're thankful for that. But Lord, nonetheless, we pray that you intervene in Mark's life. Lord, we lift up Rhonda to you tonight and this friend of Brother Marco's and kindred, Lord, with the cancer. We're praying for her healing. Lord, we're praying for her husband, Lad. And Lord, we're just praying for that couple as they go through this difficult time together, Lord. We pray that you might bring healing to her body. Lord, we lift up the Stutz family to you, Lord, in the passing of Matthew. We just pray for your comfort. We pray for your mercy, Lord. We pray for a blessed homegoing service this coming Saturday, even with a short life. Lord, I pray that seeds of salvation are sown and Jesus is spoken about and the Word of God is used to comfort people, God. I just pray that you show up at that place and that funeral in a huge way for that family and bring comfort to them. Lord, we lift up Fran. We continue to pray for Fran and this breast cancer that she has. Be with her husband, John, Lord. And Father God, I pray that, Lord, you might remove this cancer from her and she might get back on the path to healing. She already gives you praise, Lord, for getting past cancer once 20 years ago. Well, we're praying you might bring her through it again. And, Lord, we lift up Miss Sarah to you tonight with this aneurysm and tumor in her brain and help her and her son and daughter-in-law as they think about her long-term care, as they think about their options for surgery and all of these things. We're just so thankful for Miss Sarah through the years. What a great faithful church member. And, Lord, I pray that we would continue to reach out to her and minister to her and pray for her, call her, be there for her, Lord. I just pray we continue to love on her. And then Miss Sakura, Lord, we pray your healing hand upon her, same kind of stuff that Ann's got. And so bronchitis, stuff down in the lungs, congestion, all that jazz. Pray you touch her body, Lord, bring healing to her. And I know she'll give you the praise and the glory for touching her and bringing healing to her, Lord. We thank you for her sweet personality. She's a joy to be around and so funny, God. Thank you for making a funny lady like Miss Sakura. She's a great, great person. Lord, be with us now as we go through this word tonight. We've done our praying. It's been a privilege and an honor, Lord, to intercede on others' behalf. We've praised you tonight in prayer. And, Lord, now we're going to worship you in word. And we just thank you, Lord. It's a privilege to get to do it, and we're thankful for it. And, Lord, we pray that we take the word out of here when we leave. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right. Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 3. Going to read two verses that we're probably very familiar with now because I've read them a couple weeks in a row, verses 13 and 14. And then I'm going to jump off down here into chapter 4. We've pretty much covered all of chapter 3. We've covered that ad nauseum. Some of you are thinking, man, you're going to talk about that one more time? One more time, I'm going to talk about chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Finish up these implications on God's name. And then I told you we would get back to Moses, and that certainly is going to happen. So Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, have you found it? Then Moses said to God, behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel. I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, we've looked at this a couple weeks, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I love it. Amen? And then we look at chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Then Moses said, what if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a staff. Then he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. But the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand and grasp it by its tail. How many of you would grab a snake by the tail? Yeah, man, maybe some of you. So he stretched out his hand, and he caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. The Lord furthermore said to him, now put your hand into your bosom. So he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then he said, put your hand into your bosom again. So he put his hand into his bosom again, and when he took it out of his bosom, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. If they will not believe you or heed the witness of the first sign, they may believe the witness of the last sign. But if they will not believe even these two signs or heed what you say, then you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground, and the water which you take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. Amen? We ended last Wednesday evening talking about how troublesome it is trying to comprehend the what? The incomprehensible God, who is so ultimately so far beyond our comprehension. And then we shared what helps us get a taste of God. What helps us get a taste of God in the here and now, on this side of heaven? Remember what that was? You got the Holy Spirit, person of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and the the Word of God. Remember we read that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? We're going to have to start putting coffee back in the, in charging how much for a cup? $5. That's right. 1 Corinthians, man, you remember that passage? Come on, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 2:10-16. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen? We were talking last week about the name of God, I am that I am. And then we transitioned and talked about the implications of God's name. We said God is personal, right? And then we went on down the road and said God is self-existent. Well, we continue on this evening talking about how God is self-sufficient. He's a self-sufficient God. I am that I am. That name also points to God's self-sufficiency, his self-sufficiency. Self-existence means that God has no origins. Well, how can that be? When you get there, ask. Yeah? Ask how that is. I think you'll understand it when you get there. When you finally grab on, when Jesus finally grabs on to you and you've got your, what is it, your body? What kind of body are you getting? Glorified. You got your glorified body with your glorified mind. Everything's all good. Sin's out. Spirit all in. I think it'll all line up for you. But we take this today by faith, right? Self-existence means that God has no origins. Self-sufficient means that God has no needs. I am that I am. God is telling Moses that he's here at that burning bush, that he's here. God's telling him that he's here and he does not need anything. And I know what you're thinking. Wait a minute, preacher. Hold your horses. Wait a minute. I thought God used us to carry out his plan. I thought, you know, we're part of this thing with him. And I would say, correct, you are correct. God does graciously use us to carry out his plan. He's going to use Moses to carry out his plan. And God's gracious to use us to carry out his plan. God is doing that with Moses. He's doing that with us. He calls Moses because he will send Moses to Egypt as his agent and bringing the people to their own land, right? The point is God does not have to use Moses. He doesn't have to use Moses. And he does not have to use us either. He doesn't have to use me, doesn't have to use you, doesn't have to use his church, doesn't have to use any of it. Does that make sense? God has no needs. No needs. He does not need any helpers. He can do everything without the help of human agents. He does not need us. He does not need defenders. He is well able to take care of himself. He does not even need worshipers. We don't add anything to God by worshiping him. We get the benefit worshiping him. If God uses us as helpers, then that's a great privilege, an honor. If God uses us to defend the gospel, then that is a great privilege. That's an honor. If God uses us in worshiping him, then the blessing is all ours. That ought to, I mean, you think about it. You know, when you go to different churches, there's always that one or that one couple or those two or three people. Remember, what was the show? George Jefferson? Well, we're moving on up, right? They walk into church like that. Like, hey, man, it ain't about that. Yeah, do what? Yeah, get on board, right? I mean, God has no needs. It's our honor and privilege to get to do it. Amen? We begin to understand that God really has no needs. We begin to understand why unbelief is such a serious thing, such a serious sin, unbelief. See, God presents himself here in this passage and in other passages in the Bible as what? As the all-sufficient one. I am that I am. And he calls us to trust him. We are called to trust him. That's salvation, trusting him as our personal Lord and Savior. If we've trusted him, if we do trust him, then we've done what? We've expressed faith. We've expressed faith, man. And we are what is called saved. But if we refuse to believe God, if we refuse to believe in the gospel, if we refuse to believe in Jesus Christ, our personal Savior and Lord, then what are we really saying? We are saying that some other thing is more trustworthy than God himself. In other words, we're saying that something else is sufficient and that God is not sufficient. That's what we're saying. We're saying that we cannot trust God is what we're saying if we don't believe the gospel. And this is why it's such a serious thing. When we refuse, reject, push it away, we are slandering the very name of God as well as acting in folly. And we're acting like a fool when we do that, right? So God is self-sufficient. Finally, when we talk, no, I said finally, I got two more. You may only get one more. God is self-sufficient. Secondly, second implication tonight on God's name, God is eternal. Now, we all know that. We talk about that. The verb to be also suggests that God is eternal. I am that I am suggests he's eternal. The difficulty lies in finding a word because our vernacular, our English, the language, we get to the end of it when we try to describe this attribute because we're stuck in time and we're trying to describe something that's not in time. It's outside of time. It's eternal. So we talk about God being everlasting, and we really don't get everlasting. We say it like we do. We talk about God being everlasting. I mean, you know, we have images of the Energizer Buddy, ding, 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 ding. But I mean, God's way past that, right, when it comes to everlasting, right? We talk about perpetuity, and we talk about eternity. But nothing we have lasts. It all's got to be replaced. We're talking about replacing parts of our body, right? It all has to be replaced, right? So we really can't wrap our head around that. Yet, this whole thought of eternity, of living beyond this, is stuck in us because God put it there. This means that God has always been, when we talk about God being eternal, he's always been, he always will be. He's always the same in his eternal being. So then God's eternal stability is a comfort to us because since we were made in the image of God, God has put eternity into our hearts. He's put eternity into our hearts. Ecclesiastes affirms this in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. It says, He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart. I love my dogs and my cats, but I don't think they think of a life past living. But I think of life past living. I think of a life on down the road. I think of a life that never ends. Well, why do you think like that? Because somebody put it in my heart. God implanted it in me, right? Right? God is self-sufficient. God is eternal. Thirdly, tonight, when we talk about these implications, these last three, God is unchangeable. He's unchangeable. Theologians use the term immutable. This means that God never differs from himself. What he is today, he will be tomorrow, and he is today what he was yesterday. This attribute is implied in the divine name and has several important consequences for us. Unchangeable, immutable means, first of all, that God can be trusted. He's reliable, trusted. Trusted to remain as he is. If he reveals himself to be one way, then we can be sure that tomorrow that is the way he will be, and that he will be that way the day after. The same applies to God as revealed in Jesus Christ. Nothing will ever change God. As the writer of Hebrews states, Jesus is God, right? Right? Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. But second, God's immutability. Yeah, it's been a long day for me too. God's immutability. And I don't get that last coffee. I don't get that last coffee at 2 o'clock. You know why? I like going to bed. I take that last coffee about 2 o'clock, and I won't be going to bed when I want to go to bed. I'll be going to bed about 2 o'clock in the morning. All right. God's immutability means that God is inescapable. Inescapable. You can't escape him. He's not going to go away. None of his attributes will change. That's what's so crazy about people that reject the gospel, reject God, reject Jesus, reject the church. What are you doing that for? He ain't going away. We're on his timetable, his line, his plan. You can't just get rid of God, right? He will not become less holy or less sovereign than he is today. He's always been that sovereign and holy yesterday and the day before and for all eternity. This means that we have to come to terms with God as he is. And wise is the person who comes to terms with God early. Wise is the person who comes to terms with God early, right? Praise God if you come to terms with God later in life, but praise the Lord if you do it early, amen? That's a good sign. Well, those are all of the implications, about five of them. We covered two last week, talked about the name of God last week. Those are all the implications. You would think when at the burning bush, I am that I am, right? I mean, you would think that Moses' response would be a good one. After a revelation like that, we could expect that Moses would say, well, God, that's the greatest revelation I've ever heard in my life. That's amazing. I can't believe you shared that with me. I just want to get on my hands and my face, and I want to thank you. I really feel honored and humbled and energized by that. So what would you have me do next? But that ain't what he did. That's not what happened, is it? As a matter of fact, God's giving of his name was an answer to one of Moses' objections, right? The whole giving of the name. When God first called Moses and said, I'm going to send you to Egypt, to Pharaoh, to tell him, let my people go, Moses began to make excuses. First of all, he asked, who am I? He meant that he was insignificant. Why send me? I cannot possibly do the job. Well, how did God answer Moses' question of who am I and why send me? God answered this question in effect by saying, I don't care who you are. I don't care. That's not the issue. The issue is not who are you. The issue is who am I? Of course you're inadequate. I'm the one who's sending you. I'm the one who is adequate. I'm the one. God, he's talking about himself. Then Moses said, well, who are you? So God gave him his great name to show that he's the sovereign, eternal God. And then Moses began to make more excuses. I mean, it's like a comedy that doesn't end. I mean, it's like he's reading from a script, right? First objection, chapter 4, verse 1. Then Moses said, what if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you. Well, this was reasonable. This was a reasonable objection. So God responded by giving him three signs. I'm going to leave the Astros alone. Signs. I said signs, and my mind went right to the beating of the trash can, man. My soul. Three signs. We'll pick the three signs up next week. Let's have a closing word of prayer. Three signs. Come back next week. What's this? What's this? This fastball? What's this slider? What's this? What's this cutter? Is that a cutter? Three? I don't know. Right? One. Two. And you know how they paint their fingernails? They put the fingernail polish on them? Yeah, they put fingernail polish so the pitcher can see it. And then for the I'll pray. I won't say what the Astros did. All right. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you for your love and your grace. And Lord, thank you for your patience, because we sure see a patient God in this passage. Patient with Moses. And Lord, thank you for Moses. Moses finally obeys. He finally gets on down the road with it. And Lord, we just praise you for his life. We praise you for the story in Exodus. We praise you for the deliverance of your people. And Lord, we know you have a plan for them. You've got a plan for us. Lord, we pray you just help us finish the week strong with you. Lord, may we be people that are praying and people in the Word. And Lord, bring us back Sunday, Lord, to our respective places of worship. And Lord, we just pray that we get to meet with you and worship you and experience the privilege and the honor that it is one more time. Thank you, God, for tonight. Give us safety as we leave this place. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed.